Blog Talk Radio.
Back again. What's up, Phoenix? How you doing, my brother?
Yes, all is well.
all is well. Man, that song always gets me. I just love this song so much by Kenny Loggins. What a great lyric. And, you know, and it was very inspirational in my life as a young man out in California in 1979, confused about my, you know, what I should do. And should I go back home because I'm not making any money, or should I just wait this thing out? I don't know. And I was called my dad, and he said, "You can always come home, son. But you've been wanting this." And then he said, just ride it out. And then, you know, if it doesn't work out, come on home. And I said, "Yes, sir." And when I put that phone down, 2 seconds later, bam, that song came on. It was a new single by Kenny Loggins, and I was like, whoa, this is it. This is what I've been fighting for. This is what I've been wanting all my life, and the moment is here, and I didn't even see it. I was just ready to run to the next thing, Phoenix. I was, you know, let me go back to normal. Let me go back to what's easy. Let me go back to, you know, what I'm used to instead of dealing with the controversy of the moment. And the moment was just patience. Just wait it out. And I did, and I got the opportunity of a lifetime to to be a part of the sound of Solar Records. And, you know, and that was my blessing. And so I'm grateful for it. So that's why I named this show This Is It, because it's we all have those things that happen in our lives, and we have moments that come to us and that we've been looking for something, wanting something, praying for something. And, you know, and so it's nice to know that this is it. This is the moment. You know, it's up to you now to make that decision. You know, are you going to stand there and fight for it, or are you going to move on to another place where it may be better for you? Like people that get divorced, Phoenix, you know, we've both been there. And it's like, I'm like, I had to make a decision. Am I going to stay here and not do what I think is best for me? Or am I going to move on and do what I think is best for me and the overall? And because it's not good for me, it can't be good for my ex or, you know, the one I was with. Because if I'm not happy, I can't make you happy. And so, but that was the moment I had to make that decision. And so we all come across those moments. But anyway, I know I'm just rambling. So how are you, sir? I like it when you talk anyway.
Oh, I'm Lord. Good, you know. Life is a blessing. My dad used to always say that he was topsoil, and as far as he could see, all was good. There's no reason to complain. When you look and you're holding the cards in your hand, it may not be the full deck, but you got cards in your hand. You have options.
Right.
And you have the ability to navigate through the storm. And I always say, for those who are spiritually inclined, they have an additional usage of spirituality that enables them to overlook some of the minor details or inflections in the world that sometimes can throw us off our horse. Gives us strength beyond what's normal. And we all have a measure of faith, whether we recognize it in a spiritual sense or not. You know, we all have faith. We have faith in the cars we drive that it'll get us from point A to point B. Until it breaks down, we go, oh, man, it's time for a service. We have faith that the gas is going to work. We have faith that our refrigerators are going to keep our food cold. I mean, I could go on and on. We
put faith
in inanimate objects all the time.
Yeah,
so it's
amen.
Not always necessarily spiritually inclined. It's just that we put our faith in an unknown that we really don't have any control over. And it's liberating to know that we can do that. So,
yes, sir. So do you have the topic in front of you that we are going to talk about today? Oh, and why, if you could bring that up, I just want to say hello to everybody. Much love to all of our listeners around the world. Much love. We got Don Fleming also has chimed in. What's up, Don?
Hey, what's happening, fellas?
How you doing, brother?
Good. Yep. I'm off the show, man. And,
you're on the road. Yeah. You're on the road, huh?
Oh, yeah. You can hear it in the background. Yeah, you know, I'm on the road, but I want to take time to check out the show and listen to you guys. And hopefully, you know, hey, I can give my input on the topic.
Okay, well, right now, wherever you are, your signal is really bad and you're breaking up, so... yeah, so just if you're listening in, I'll turn the mic back.
Listening. I'll keep listening, no problem.
Yeah, but we love to get your input, so I'll bring your mic back on. Or you could just how to do it. You can mute and turn back on. But just let us know what your thoughts are, okay?
You got it.
Okay, cool. Yeah, you're breaking up a little bit, but yeah, we heard you. Yeah, and so I want to also give a shout-out to all our listeners around the world. May God bless you guys, and thank you so much for tuning in. I want to give a shout-out to Don in Scotland, and I want to give a shout-out to Tiffany. And I know that she was in Scotland, but now she's in the UK, I believe. Also want to give a shout-out to Julianne, and she's always listening in Detroit. What's up, Julianne? Much love, sweetheart. Give a shout out to Astrid. What's happening, Astrid? And of course, Greg is there. We know he's there, running the show. What's up, Greg? And so he kind of runs the stuff behind the scenes here. And so y'all just heard us talking to Don Fleming as he's on the road, but he's chiming in. So we'll be talking to Don and getting his advice in regards to the topic that we want to share. What's up, Kimberly, over in California? And that, I'm trying to Hemet, California. I believe you're in Hemet. What's happening, girl? And then Linda Carrier called in and said hello to everyone. And so much love. That's Linda Carrier from Dynasty, by the way. And so anyway, Phoenix, are you ready to jump into this?
Absolutely. Well, the topic for today, are the challenges in our lives, are they temporary? But good results can last a lifetime. So we're talking about both sides, I guess, of the pendulum, things that temporarily suspend our good times, interrupters, if you will. You have sometimes these life interrupters that we might see, and it's temporary. How do we face it? How do we make good on those results that ultimately can last a lifetime? You know, we're talking about the human experience, things that atypically happen every day. You know, sometimes we're just simply trying to make an appointment, and it seems like everything that we do prohibits us from getting there. Do we throw our hands up and say, forget it, I can't make those obligations? Or do we make adjustments that ultimately perhaps can put us in a position where maybe a new job is offered? Maybe if you're single and disengaged, maybe you meet someone that was unexpected, an unexpected pleasure. So we're really looking at the gamut. We're really looking for positive results. We're always looking for a teaching moment, if you will, things that our audience, that is so sophisticated, I must add, to be able to utilize what's being said, and it becomes a teachable moment, something that benefits us. Most of us are engaged now in the holiday season. We are in transit doing many, many things. How do we overcome a situation that might be a temporary setback or an obstacle? And what are some of the ways that you found have been beneficial to result in a positive outcome? Maybe we can get some of our listeners to share something that would be mutually beneficial across the board.
Okay. You know, I could share a situation. I'm hearing myself. I don't know why. Let's try this. I could share a situation. Yeah, that's better. I can hear a situation. Share a situation that I was, you know, a lot of times we get challenged, right, with different things. And I'm talking as a Christian man. This is an experience that I had as a Christian man. I'm still a Christian man. But I was the drummer at this church in Los Angeles for 17 years. And I remember singing and playing this song, I'll Give Myself Away So You Can Use Me. And I sang it so much, and I loved it. It was just a great song. You know, I give myself away so you can use me. And I sang it so many times. I give myself away. And so this one particular morning as I'm driving to San Diego, California, I find myself, I don't even know how I slipped into this conversation with God. But I'm in this conversation with God because he knows what's happening in my brain, that I have plans to disrupt his plan. And I wasn't thinking about God's plan. I was just thinking about my plan. And I wasn't intentionally trying to disrupt his plan. I was just trying to do my plan and make sure that everything works out accordingly. And so my plan was to, you know, to let my ex-wife know that, okay, I let you move in, and you've been here, and you know, and so it's that time now for you to move on, you know. And because I want to move on with my life too, and you know, I didn't want to date with her being there and just trying to help her through her situation. You know, and everybody has their moments, right? So, you know, I was doing that just to be a blessing to her. Just come stay here and get yourself together. And then you can, you know, once you get yourself together. And so a year had passed. And so then another year. And I was like, okay, 2 years now. Okay, this is becoming like, you know. And I gave her the master bedroom. And I took the bedroom downstairs with my studio. And so I said, okay, so it was like enough of that. And so I was in my brain, I was like, okay, I'm gonna tell her she gotta go. And I remember I was frustrated. And so then I gotta make the story short. And so then as I'm talking to God, I'm having all of a sudden in this conversation with God, like, you know, you're not going to ask her to leave. And I'm like, what? No, she's got the, and it was going back and forth, man. It was like, no. I want her to stay. And I just like, no, God, you're not going to have this conversation with her. And I was like, she's got, you know, and I'm frustrated. I'm like, whoa, what is happening here? Why am I talking? What am I doing? And I've never in my entire relationship with God had a conversation with him where we're arguing. I would just hear or feel or sense what he wanted, and I would just try to acknowledge that that's what it was that he wanted and would do it. But in this particular situation, this was a battle because it was going against my will. I was like, I'm not doing that. No. And this went on for about an hour and a half. And I tell you, my head started exploding. And I remember in the middle of that conversation, he said, Wardell, you sing that song to me all the time. I give myself away so you can use me, and I need to use you right now. And I was blown away with that. I was like, I do. Now, why would that pop into my head? Right? And why would God? Because I sing it all the time. And God's talking to me. He's communicating with me. He's telling me he don't want me to do something that I need, that I feel I need to do so I can breathe, so I can be okay, so I can enjoy what I want to enjoy. But anyway, so I just got to the point where I just gave up. I couldn't. My head was hurting. I was like, okay, you win. God, gee. I remember when I got home, I went upstairs into my room, no, downstairs, into my room. I closed the door. I said, I don't want to talk to nobody, but I did. And went in there, and I took a nap because I had a serious headache fighting with God. But ultimately, what ended up happening is that I did let her stay. But at the end of the day, what it showed me is that God needed me to do something, not for me, but for his glory. It was for him, but it was, I also blessed my children with it because they got to see that, you know, dad was taking care of their mom. And I showed my kids that your mom has value, regardless to if we're married or not. She has value. She is God's child. And I had to do what I had to do to bless her. So my kids now look at me like, wow, that was so cool that you did that. And see, it feels good for them to say that to me, but I remember when I was fighting God about it. And so God just kind of used me in the moment to do something that he needed to do for his glory for my ex. But ultimately, I got the gift from my children of saying, thank you for doing that. And they love me for what I did for their mom. I didn't know that I was going to get rewarded from it. You know, because the reward for my children is the ultimate reward. And I was like, wow. So years later, I got that reward. But in the moment, I didn't understand it. And I was angry and I was frustrated. So sometimes, you know, the hard thing that we're going through can be a blessing for you later. But we don't know that. We don't, in the moment, it just feels wrong, and it's going against our grain, what's easy for us, and everything that's easy is not right. I mean, it was easy to get drugs, and it was easy to hang out and do things that I shouldn't be doing. That's not right. Sometimes it's the hard things that are really good for you. But it's hard for us sometimes because we're kind of lazy naturally, a lot of us. Not all of us, but I know I didn't want to work out all the time when I was on the track team. I did my best to become the captain so I could tell everybody else what to do instead of me doing it. I'm a lazy bum. So, but anyway, Phoenix, so that was my story that I was able to share in regards to being in a place that's difficult, but being blessed by it later, not understanding that the difficulty was actually blessing me. And that's what people, I believe, need to understand. Sometimes the hard times are the best times, like when you have a coach that's pushing you really hard or a teacher that's really on you because they know that you're capable and you can do this. You know, those later in life, you go back to them and say, thank you so much for pushing me and making me, helping to make me into who I am today.
I did share a thought recently with a colleague, a business colleague, which is the reason I'm in Houston. And I shared with him, again, for those religiously inclined, and even those that are not, it's a teaching point. When Jesus was on the torture stake, from the older translations of the Latin Vulgate, it says torture stake, literally. He was being tortured, and he was on a stake. And he said something, it took me a long time to understand what he meant, shaped my life. He said, when under tribulation, rejoice. And I thought they were contradictory. How could someone be in pain and under torture and thus rejoice? And the application is pretty simple when you think about it, and amazing in the same regard, because sometimes tribulations are designed to break you down. They're designed to make you drop your defense mechanisms. But if you put a little oil on the situation and you become more fluid and you're able to step back and look at what you're going through, it's the process of going through it that helps you rejoice and to get on the other side. In his case, he came to save the world. What a momentous situation that the weight of the world was on his shoulders. Again, those from scriptural design. But many times for us, it's something that we feel is monumental. Like I know the older ones would say, stop making a molehill into a mountain. Stop making a little situation. But if you get sand in your eyes on the beach, it's a little granular thing. But it's such an irritant. But if you start jumping up and down, freaking around, you might dislodge it to the point it goes in the back of your eyeball. You'd have to calm down, get someone to see, perhaps get into a mirror or a light and fish that thing out of your eye. And so the rejoicing is getting on the other side of the situation, just in general, no matter what it is, no matter what we're going through. Maybe we're going through financial difficulties, and it's bad enough that you're going through it, you're stressed, your skin is breaking out, you don't see how you're going to make a means to an end. And if you allow the circumstance to submerge you to the point where you're drowning in your own sympathies, you have no energy to paddle yourself to shore financially or whatever the situation is. And so to rejoice is really looking beyond your circumstance in an objective way. Like I many times will say, getting out of the way of yourself, whether it's emotional, whether it's practical. Maybe you're the typical male and you feel that you think of things logically. We're usually guilty of saying, oh, I think of things logically. But in fact, we're acting like a child maybe. Maybe we're acting disconnected because somehow we're not seeing the situation clearly. And it's a challenge. And sometimes if you just catch your breath and you take an honest assessment, you know, like have you ever been in the mall and they say, you're right here. This is where you're at. You want to get to the shoe store. Well, it's on the third floor. You have to go this way, make a right, go up this escalator, and to the left is where you want to go. So sometimes from that vantage point, if we just take time to clear our thoughts, to take the sensationalism out of the difficulty, to take the emotion out of the difficulty, then we can begin to rejoice, because then we can have what we call an aha moment. You go, aha, man, I know what I got to do now.
Right.
Then you get yourself up, you dust yourself off, and you get to going where you need to go. So,
yeah,
you know, something to think about.
Absolutely. Don, are you there, brother?
I'm here.
Let's see, you know, talk a little bit so we can see if your microphone is fixed up a little better.
All right. Mic check. 1, 2, 3. Where are we?
He still sounds like he's underwater a little bit.
Yeah, it sounds like you're underwater. Maybe try hanging up.
I'll tell you what. I will be home shortly, and I will hopefully I'll be on in a clear area. But I think it's a great topic. And I think your experiences, man, I want to thank you both for sharing your idealisms and your experiences to the forefront, because, again, you never know who needs to hear that. So I will be on soon.
Okay.
And just pray for me, and I'll talk to you cats later.
All right, brother. Be
Excellent.
Safe.
Thank you.
All right. All right. Love you, brother. All right, so let me read something also from the listeners. It says, why are we scared to face our fears? We fear failure. We fear death. We fear the unknown. We fear being weak. How do we conquer our fears? When we know that all these things are inevitable. So should
I
read that again? You got it? Okay.
No, I got you. I think it's important to define, like I said, when you're at the mall, where you're at. You know, sometimes, you know, you always say Wordell to count your blessings. You know, sometimes you got to say, well, where am I at? I'm not homeless. I got a roof over my head. Hey, my parents are still alive. They're a go-to mechanism. Maybe you're involved in a church or an organization, maybe a bowling team. It could be anything. So you have ancillary connections that perhaps you're not even utilizing. Maybe you have an issue with pride. Maybe you just don't know how to take a moment and assess the situation and face your fears. Because once you clear up in your mind the pluses and minuses, and where you're at, you can begin to make a very definite approach to see your way clear of the situation. So, fear is definitely a factor. And if unchecked and if unmotivated, it can be crippling. And it's counterproductive. You know, fear, when you think about it, it's counterproductive. There are some chemical reasons for fear. I recently was watching television. There's a reason why fear comes into place while we're designed to have it. It's a protection. It really is. But if you allow it to go to the left, to the far side of the coin, you lose out on the principle of fear, and then you can't get past it.
Yes. Yes, I was going to say it's true. It is designed as a protection, and because it makes you think before you proceed.
That's good.
And a lot of times we don't think before we proceed, and we end up getting in trouble, you know. And so I am grateful for fear, but at the same time, I recognize that God has really blessed me to understand that, because I could be doing, or maybe dead because of, you know, doing drugs. I have friends that were doing all this stuff. They were just doing it. It was just, it's like, because the other kids were doing it in the neighborhood, everybody was doing it, but I was fearful. I'm glad I was fearful, you know, and they would call you back then a punk. Yeah, punk. Okay. I'd rather be a live punk than a dead punk, you know, or a dead hero. You know, I want to be alive. And so I, you know, and a lot of those guys ended up, you know, as drug addicts and their life went nowhere. And I feel bad because of that. I'm not celebrating that. But what I am celebrating is the fact that fear kicked in and blessed me. And that fear that God put in me, like, nope. Don't do that. And I'm glad I listened. So anyway, anything else on that?
I'm just thinking in terms of trials, just in a generic sense, because we can pontificate or talk about all kinds of variables. But sometimes, you know, recently I made a sojourn from Las Vegas to Houston, Texas. That's where I'm at currently. And in the process, it was an arduous drive. It was 21 hours. I was fatigued. It was long runs. I have a big SUV. There were times I thought I was going to run out of gas, and there was no gas station in sight. At one point, as I was going through, I believe it was Albuquerque, New Mexico, all of a sudden, I started seeing snow flurries. I'm coming from Las Vegas, Nevada, and I'm originally from New York. So I said, I poo-pooed it. This is nothing. My ego jumped in, and I was like, man, why are they crawling? I'm just going to zip through this, which I did because it's the largest Mercedes truck, and it had great brand-new tires, and the traction was incredible. It's an 8-cylinder, so it had a lot of weights, over 6,000 pounds. And I'm on my merry way. And I'm zipping in and out of traffic and those cars that are moving slowly, only to be humbled. Because next minute I know those flurries turned into a snowstorm. And I looked around, and there was nobody on the road for good reason, because they were smarter than me. My ego was driving the wheel. And so I'm speeding up once again. I'm like, I'm a New Yorker. I've lived in upstate New York. This is nothing. Why are these people driving like this? Well, the next minute I know, the car went into a tailspin. And it looked like it looked like the Swiss Alps. It really did. It really looked like the Swiss Alps. It was covered with snow. It was a lot of accumulation. And suddenly, that wonderful SUV, it made my seatbelt tighten up on me, because that's a part of the mechanism of the vehicle, a safety mechanism. The car started veering to the left. And now there's a precipice that overlooks. I'm climbing up a mountain. So this could have been perilous. But I remembered, it shows you, talking about when under tribulation, rejoice. I got calm. I didn't overreact, because professionals say when you're sliding on ice, never turn your wheel. Let's say you're sliding and you're veering to the left. Never turn your steering wheel to a hard right, because you create a sled and your car will definitely fail. The way to get out of it, and I'm thinking calmly as the car is slipping all over the road. I said, get calm, get cool, calm, and collected, and steer into the way you're sliding, and slowly steer the car out of the spin. So I never did a 360, but I did some serious S-curls. And this went on, I would say, for a protracted period of time. I couldn't give you an actual time frame, because, you know, when you're going through something like that, it feels like all eternity. Like, oh, my God, when is this going to stop? But I remember that I got calm, and I was very thankful for experiences that I learned many, many years ago. Get calm. Don't overreact to the situation. Do not do the opposite of what you think is going to get you out. And that's a life to me lesson, because sometimes when you're going through a bad spin in life, you have to turn into the spin you're going. Don't try to immediately retract and go the other way. It might be an argument. You have to lean into it a little bit
In other words, you have to yield. And then you can negotiate out of that turbulent circumstance.
Ultimately, very great. Good analogy.
Yeah, I was truly successful. And I must tell the listeners that I have to laugh at myself because I said, okay, buddy boy, you're going to go 20 miles an hour from now on. And I was deeply humbled. So one of the other key components to a tribulation is humility. And that's something we could spend a whole topic on humility. Mm. Do you have humility? Where you get humility from? Because it's a human condition that requires us, as in that tailspin, to put on the brakes slowly and get in control of yourself. Don't go overboard. If you're in a tailspin of an argument, pull back a little bit. Lean into, listen to what the person is saying. Don't be so quick to object what they said, because they may have a life lesson for you. And it's been proven that arguments excel because the person who is arguing is not listening to the rebuttal. You're so quick to give the response in the direction in which you want to go, you turn into a tailspin, and you both fall off the mountainside. You don't accomplish anything. So it's a question sometimes of just yielding, following the turn of events, and slowly, carefully, and respectfully turn yourself out of a disastrous situation.
So then this question is for you. Are the challenges in life really just our perspective on the situation rather than a reality?
It could be. I mean, that's a two-sided situation. It could be. It could be our perception. I know I've experienced it. I had a fit with a text person, and I just swore I knew what was going on. And then later on, I went back to read the text, and I was completely off base. I overreacted to something that wasn't there. It was my perception that there was a problem. And the individual kept saying, did you read the text? Did you read the text? Yeah, I read the text, and I heard what you said. And then when I read it, I said, oh, my God, you big dummy. She never said anything that was inflammatory, but my perception, I read into it wrong. And sometimes we can be so smart that we're stupid. We actually overreact. And our perception can lead us in the wrong direction. So in that regard, yes, it can be perception. And you can be totally off base and respond to the situation in a negative way that could have had a totally different outcome. Sometimes it costs marriage. Sometimes it costs partnerships. Or loss of wages, because our perception, that person never liked me. And that's why they said, and then when you look back at it, they said, it had nothing to do with that. You handed in the document that you put the company at risk, and they had to let you go because you made a grave error. It cost the company $1 million that they didn't have the insurance for. And when you look at it, it had nothing to do with the fact that that person didn't like you. You were actually the culprit. But you read it wrong. And you could have corrected it had you had a different perception.
You guys might not know who my friends overseas may not know who Michael Jordan is. But then, you know, a lot of you guys do know who Michael Jordan is. He's a famous basketball player and probably one of the best of all time. I don't think they're ever going to come up to that conclusion because it was just so many great basketball players before him. But it's always one of those thoughts that, you know, a lot of people think that he probably was the best of all time, but they just haven't concluded that for some reason. So Michael Jordan obviously was an amazing basketball player. And so throughout his life as a young man, he was, you know, playing baseball and basketball. And so he had decided, you know, because he was growing like crazy all of a sudden, that he's going to play basketball. And so as he goes out for the high school team to play basketball, And he felt really good about himself, and he thought he was doing a great job. He got cut. He didn't make the team. And it was so humiliating to him that he didn't make the team because he thought he did everything right. And that right there changed his whole life and made him become the Michael Jordan that we know of today, because he refused to give in, you know, and to be a loser. Like a lot of times people say, I know you want to do that, but maybe you should do something else. And, you know, but you have to have your stick-to-it-ness. If that's something that God has put in your heart that you, you know, feel like you should be doing and that's what you're going to do, then you have to stick to it and do it. And people are not blessed with your, you know, what God is saying to you and telling you to do. And so I believe that, you know, for myself, I had the same thing. And I remember my friend saying to me, you going to California, or they're just going to spit you out and chew you up and spit you out. And I don't think you should do it. And I said, but I just want to. I just feel like I have to. I just got to go for it. And I got a great career out of it. And later he agreed. But it's those hard times, those confusing times, those difficult times, that those challenging times that really can make or break you. And so when you're in that situation like Phoenix was in that turn, you have to take a moment and think about what's actually happening and how to deal with it. Phoenix's situation was very scary, just hearing it. And it's scary because...
could have been grave, yeah.
Yeah. And so it wasn't like he had, well, let me think about it, and I'll think about it, and I'm going to come back tomorrow and give you an answer. It was like right then and there, he had to make the decision to do what he had to do to save his own life. And so, and sometimes a lot of us are, you know, people have been put in that situation. And so, but you, the key to it all is think. Don't just do, think. Think about it. Think about what
you
get ready to do.
And you gotta stay calm. You know, our demeanor has so much to do with the outcome. Whether we're having a disagreement, maybe it's our marital mate, maybe it's our business partner. As the listener called in and said, hey, it could be your perception. And perceptions can change. It's often been said, perception is everything. You know, at that moment in time, we are convinced because we perceive things to be so. But one thing that they all have in common that usually gives a positive outcome is our state of calm. You know, you have to get calm within yourself. Even they say when people are drowning, they drown because they lose their calm. Instead of doggy paddling and doing the things they learned at the YMCA, they freak out and they lose the calm. And what happens is the situation overcomes them because they're so emotionally distraught. They're not thinking clearly anymore. They no longer have whatever experiences, whatever rope that they have to tug on to get them out of the situation. They're not thinking clearly anymore, and they overreact, and it causes many to lose their lives. So you have to come to a state of calm. And that's what happened to me. It made me come to a state of calm. In midst, and that's why I use Jesus' example, when under tribulation, rejoice. And it sounds contradictive, but it has so many applications. It's like a diamond. It depends on where you're sitting in the room, how you're going to catch that shine. But you have to be calm to see it.
This is good. This is good. Good talk. I love it, man. Thank you. And I just want to thank, you know, I think it's a great conversation. It's I'm learning as I'm listening, and so You know, because we will still have challenges and moments. This just happened in Phoenix on his way to Houston. So, it don't matter how old you are, how young you are, things, life still, if you live in, challenges will be there, trust me. From the listeners, Stephen King was rejected 30 times before his first novel, Carrie, was accepted. So 30 times. Rejection. And sometimes you just got to follow your passion because that's who you are, right? You are your passion. It's inside of you. And so, and people can say, no. But you can't let what other people think be your guide. You are your guide. God put it inside of you. You can feel it. You just have to reach out to that. So Phoenix, we got about another 14 minutes left. What else, man? What else are you thinking in regards to what we talked about today?
What just triggered a thought was what you just said, and something that I heard my mom say many times over, and it wasn't until I became a spiritual man, end quote, did I understand the full import of this expression that is so typically said. Let your conscience be your guide. Now, I recently had an interesting conversation with a colleague here in Houston, and we were talking about matters of the heart. And as a songwriter, it's one of the most overabused, overused words in a song. Heart, heart, trust your heart. Trust your heart. Go with your heart. Dr. Phil, you got to trust your heart. Some of the most intellectual people on the planet have misused that expression. But once again, I'm going to rely upon the Most High in the sacred scrolls where he says, and I quote, do not trust your heart because the heart is treacherous. And the import of that is sometimes in perceptions, our heart gets overwrought in the matter. We're no longer thinking. We're completely on this good feeling, this euphoric, heartfelt feeling, that it clouds our judgment. And that's what the Creator meant by saying, do not trust your heart.
Yes,
do not rely upon your
feeling.
Own understandings. Yeah, he says, do not rely upon your own understandings. In all his ways, take notice of him. And that causes you to get into neutral, think a little bit, get humble, pause for the cause, get calm, and think about it. You know, we might have young women in our audiences. You know, it's around the holidays, and everybody wants the Yuletide blessings, and maybe you're looking around, and all your girlfriends are married off, and you're not. And you feel, oh, my God, I got to get somebody because I have nobody for the holidays, because it's a time that can really make you feel lonely. But if you allow your heart to be overtaken and you're no longer using your conscience as your guide, and that's what Mama said, son, let your conscience be your guide. And she used to tell me, if you have a choice and you're thinking about should I or should I not, yes or no, probably the answer is no. If you have to think about it, in all probability, the answer is no. But if you allow your heart to get into the mix, it says, yes, 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 yes. And then by the time you stick your whole foot in the matter, you said, oh, man, there was something clicking me. That's what God has given us all, a conscience. And it says, let your conscience be your guide. That's the time to think. That's the time to say, you know what? Something's not right here. Something's a little fishy. Let me just pull back and save it for another day. Look before you leap.
What's the difference between your conscience and your heart? Like, how do you know which one is talking?
Real simple. Real simple. The conscience is a mental mechanism. It's a sum total of who you are at any given time. Whether it's spiritual inclinations, whether it's academia, it's a time when your mind goes back in a Rolodex and thinks about the sum total of who you are, your parentage, your culture, And it's a pricking. Usually it's like when you're about to do something or maybe about to buy a car and you know in your heart you don't have the money. You don't even have next month's rent. But your heart is going, oh, but it's red. I always wanted a convertible. And your conscience is pricking you. It's saying, no, 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 think. You got groceries. You got the family coming next week. You don't have rent. Wait a while. That's the difference between a heart condition and a conscious decision. Your mind is actually activated. And sometimes if your conscience is developed, which we have to work at, it's like a muscle, it'll constantly prick you. And it'll say, no, 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 no. And if you ignore your conscience, it can be devastating. Trust me.
Excellent.
That's the difference. Yeah.
Question again. From the last question from the listeners here is, should we look at a challenge as a way to be creative rather than a problem we can't overcome?
Absolutely. I didn't even have to wait on that. Absolutely. Again, I'm always enamored by, we have the smartest, we really do. It's not flattery, it's actually the truth. The comments that we get from our listeners, we have really attracted some of the sharpest minds across the countries. We really do, because that statement embodies so many things. If we really tune into what's being said here, we could literally walk away with a usable, teachable moment. So absolutely is my answer to that. Yeah.
Okay. I had to sneeze, so I had to mute my mic. And that was a quick answer. All right. So in closing, Phoenix, I'd like to have you to share your thought in closing on this topic, and I can give you a minute if you wanted to think about it.
Calm, friends, listeners, be calm, stay calm, stay inside your lane, in your wheelhouse. Take your time, let your conscience be your guide. Don't allow the circumstance to derail you. One of the listeners said, don't allow the fear factor to disarm you. We need all the tools. We're living in desperate times, calls for desperate measures. The stock markets are crashing. All of these institutional things that we put so much weight into is showing up faulty. The interest rates are rising. It's difficult for people to get medication or they're going to eat. But if you count your blessings, you stay calm, you stay within your wheelhouse, you try not to color outside the lines, and allow your conscience to prick you, to make sense of the sum total of things in which, no matter where you are, no matter how old you are or how young, to make intelligent decisions that are not evoked necessarily by your emotions, like the heart, not necessarily about the fear factors that disarm you, but really pay attention to where you are, like the mall says, this is where you're at, and here's where you want to go, and make an intelligent plan. Do not be afraid to go to your senior members. Sometimes we get clannish and we only want to talk to our girlfriends or our guys within our age group. Seek those that are older than you. I've learned so much by people that were 20 years my senior. I always hung out with older people. If they have something to offer me, many of you guys still have your grandparents. Take this time during the holiday season and visit them, not just for the eggnog, but talk to them. sit down and allow them to just bask you in their knowledge. I find sometimes, I saw it with my own kids. They let my mother live and die, and they never sat down with her. Man, these older people have so much wisdom, and if you ask them for knowledge, just sit back. Man, they're ready to bless you on so many levels. So So young at heart, don't be afraid to go to older ones and get, they may say something you don't want to hear, but they're going to tell you pretty much what you need to know. So that's my little tidbit for today.
Awesome. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I also look forward to our next conversation. And one of the things I do want to talk about, you know, later is reintroducing yourself to your mate every 5 years. Like, because we change every 5 years. Things are different. It's not the same anymore. I'm not the same as I was then. And, you know, and these are, this is who what I like now. And this is what I don't like now. And this is where, you know, I want to go now. And so there's reintroducing yourself to your mate is a wonderful concept. I heard my friend Alicia Keys, you know, just really so excited about reintroducing herself to her mate as well, her husband that she loves so desperately. So I think it's a nice concept, you know, might be something that would really bless you guys.
I love that.
Yeah, I do too. I think it is. So, all right, guys. So, Phoenix, we love you, brother. Thank you for your wisdom as always, and thank God you're good and safe. And I'm gonna come and have lunch with you because you're kind of close to me. So I'm gonna come and hang out with you, and we can hang out a little bit.
Absolutely.
And maybe get you over here too. All right.
Yeah, that would be great, man. That would be really nice, man. I mean, I'm really loving the state of Texas. One of the things I noticed that people are very kind. They're very amenable. It was totally not what I expected.
I know.
Very
that's the same
loving
here.
People.
Yeah.
Yeah, very loving people, very willing. And especially, we've been talking, when you open yourself up to knowledge, when you take that ego off and you just say, hey, I'm here in this town, help me. You know, tell me something good. Mm-hmm. Sit back and listen, because I find this state of Texas, it's rich in oil. There's a lot of history here. It's very green. Most people are doing average to very well. And it has a lot to do with the climate and the greenery, just God's gift of green. Unlike the desert, it's so green here. That was one of the things that I noticed. The color green is so soothing. It puts you in a certain mindset. So enjoy it. Soak it up.
I just bought this for my wife because she just wants to stay by the fire, right? Stay in the living room by the fireplace. I bought this. I went online and I found this electric a fireplace, right? And it's a heater as well, right? And so I put it on the wall in our master bedroom, and I could change the colors, right? And so I had this, it was like red, and it was red and yellow, right? The fire was red and yellow, and then I took this glass cross, and I put the glass cross, you know, like not too far from it on this stand, and then my wife was like, it's scaring me. I go, what are you talking about? She says, the colors, it looks, is that hell be back there? I don't know. And I said, really? And so then I went in and the next day I changed it to green and yellow. And now she's like, oh my God, it's so beautiful. So green. You got me with that green, because my wife loves the green and
green
yellow fire.
Green is the color that God used super abundantly. Yeah, greens and blues, so pretty.
Yeah. Yes. So. Yeah. All right, guys. Well, take care, Phoenix, and God
right,
bless
man.
You. And thanks
All
for
right, you too.
Hanging out. Hey, and I'll see you soon. Let's talk later or tomorrow, whatever, so we could try
that
to hook this
good.
Thing up, get together. All right, guys.
All right.
We'll be right back on Mix It Up. And I'll tell Don to talk to him later. We missed him this time.
Okay, cool.
All right.
Cool.
See you later. Bye.
To be kind to one all, it's that time of year when good friends are dear, and you wish you could give more than just presents from a store. Why don't you give love on Christmas? even the man who has everything would be so happy if you would bring him love on Christmas Day.
Let me always be with you.
Come let me love you. Come love me. Like the mountains in springtime, like a walk in the rain, like a storm in the desert, like a sleepy blue ocean. You fill up my senses. Come fill me.
How great it is to mix it up here on Solar Records Radio. And this is Wardell Potts Jr. as we're waiting for Don Fleming to get into the office and turn his mic on. We're going to kick this off, man. We're going to have a good time here on Solar Records Radio mixing it up. And what that means is that we play all different genres of music that we play throughout the week on Solar Records Radio. So we want to welcome you. If you're a first-time listener, thank you for tuning in today and hanging out with us. We do appreciate you, and we love you. And I want to give a shout-out to Phoenix for a great first half of the show. I really appreciate your wisdom, my brother, and thank you for sharing it with us. Anyway, so, guys, are y'all ready? Are you ready? Are y'all ready to do this? Because there is no stopping us now.
Held us down, but now it looks like things are finally coming around. I know we've got a long, long way to go, and where we'll end up, I don't know. But we won't let nothing hold us back. We're putting ourselves together, we're polishing up our act. And if you've ever been held down before, I know you refuse to be held down anymore. Trying to make it, they only push you aside. They really don't have
no stopping,
no stopping,
come on,
no stopping, no stopping, no stopping, no stopping, no stopping, no stopping.
Get your groove going, get your groove going. Man, oh man, I'm having such a great time. And no stopping here on Soul Life Records Radio. We just want to have a great time with you guys. We're mixing it up here on Soul Life Records Radio. So kick back and relax and enjoy this time together here with us. Let's mix it up.
Darling, tell me when.
guys. We hope you're enjoying yourselves here on Solar Records Radio. We're mixing it up here on Solar Records Radio, and we're going to have a great time today. We got about another 38 minutes left in the show, so we thank you so much for tuning in and being a part of our show. Don't forget, tomorrow it is Indie Jazz Day on Solar Records Radio. Tune in and hang out with us at 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Much love to you guys, and we appreciate you here on Solar Records Radio.
Why does it?
that's our girl JoJo from the Mary Jane Girls. Much love, JoJo. We appreciate you here at Solar Records Radio, and a shout out from all of the people of Solar Records Radio to you, sweetheart. And, you know, Tiffany and JoJo were on together about a week or so ago, and Tiffany Bynos is a singer, and she has a great voice, an amazing, beautiful woman on top of it, and married to a beautiful and handsome man, I must say, as she said. And so we want to play a song from Tiffany. Tiffany's also the niece of Howard from Shalimar. So with that being said, we want to say thanks to the girls, JoJo and Tiffany, for coming on and blessing us here at Solar Records Radio. We do appreciate you guys and love you very much. And Greg loves you both, of course, right? Y'all know that.
Chestnuts roasting on an open fire, Jack Frost nipping at your nose, Yuletide carols being sung by a choir, and folks dressed up like Eskimos. Everybody knows of turkey and some mistletoe. Make the season bright. Tiny tots with their eyes all aglow will find it hard to sleep tonight. They know that Santa's mother's child is gonna spy to see if reindeer really know how to fly. And so I'm offering this simple phrase to kids from 1 to 92. It's been said many times.
appreciate it. When I was young, me and my mama had beef. 17 years old, kicked out on the street. Though back at the time, I never thought I'd see a face. Ain't a woman alive that could take my mama's place. Suspended from school, scared to go home. I was a fool with the big boys breaking all the rules. Shed tears with my baby sister. Over the years, we was poor than us, a little kid. And even though we had different daddies, the same drama when things went wrong, we blamed mama. I reminisce on the stress I caused. It was hell, hugging on my mama from a jail cell. And who thinking elementary? Hey, I see the penitentiary one day. Running from the police, that's right. Mama catch me, put a whoop into my backside. And even as a crack fiend, mama, you always was a black queen, mama. I finally understand, for a woman it ain't easy trying to raise a man. You always was committed, a poor single mother on welfare. Tell me how you did it, there's no way I can pay you back. But the plan is to show you that I understand. You all appreciate it. Dear mama,
place no one above you.
You all appreciate it. Nobody tell us it was fair. No love for my daddy cause the coward wasn't there. He passed away and I didn't cry, cause my anger wouldn't let me feel for a stranger. They say I'm wrong and I'm heartless, but all along I was looking for a father, he was gone. I hung around with the thugs, and even though they sold drugs, they showed a young brother love. I moved out, started really hanging. I needed money of my own, so I started slanging. I ain't guilty, cause even though I sell rocks, it feels good putting money in your mailbox. I love paying rent when the rent's due. I hope you got the diamond necklace that I sent to you. Cause when I was low, you was there for me. You never left me alone because you cared for me. And I could see you coming home after work late. You're in the kitchen trying to fix us a hot plate. Just working with the scraps you was given. And mama made miracles every Thanksgiving. But now the road got rough, you're alone. You're trying to raise two bad kids on your own. And there's no way I can pay you back. But my plan is to show you that I understand. You all appreciate it.
Don't you know we love you, sweetie.
And dear mama,
please, no one above
you. You all appreciate it. Pour out some liquor and I reminisce. Cause through the drama I can always depend on my mama. And when it seems that I'm hopeless, you say the words that can get me back in focus. When I was sick as a little kid, to keep me happy there's no limit to the things you did. And all my childhood memories, I pull all the sweet things you did for me. And even though I act crazy, I gotta thank the Lord that you made me. There are no words that can express how I feel. You never kept a secret, always stayed real. And I appreciate how you raised me, and all the extra love that you gave me. I wish I could take the pain away. If you can make it through the night, there's a brighter day. Everything will be alright if you hold on. It's a struggle every day, gotta roll on. There's no way I can pay you back, but my plan is to show you that I understand. You all appreciate it.
Don't you know we love you, sweetie.
Dear mama,
place no one above you.
You all appreciate it.
Don't you know we love you, sweetie.
Dear mama.
It's a beautiful, thing when one loves his mama, and you know, all the sacrifices that mothers and fathers go through for their children. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing when that happens. In Tupac's case, his dad wasn't there, but it seems like moms are genuinely there. they are right there locked in. And so bless you to Tupac's mom. Minnie, thank you for, you know, just showing your love for your child. And I know you're not asking for the thanks. I'm just saying thanks because it's just nice to be loved, and especially by someone who should love you. And so thank you for doing that for him. His short time here on earth, at least he got to know what love, real love is. Anyway, guys, so we want to thank you for tuning in and hanging out with us today here on Solar Records Radio. We appreciate you as well, and we love you. And may God bless all of you all around the world and protect Ukraine and the people in Ukraine and the innocent people in Russia. You know, it's a sad situation that's happening by the leaders, and we just, you know, pray that God just, you know, intervene somehow and bring this thing to a stop, because it's very ugly. Innocent people are dying every day, and it's just, it's sad to watch and to see here on the news every day. So, but anyway, we thank you so much for coming here, at least for a little peace and quietness and good music, good company, and good food. We wish that we had a facility like we did before. When I was in Los Angeles and I had my radio station in the mall, and on Fridays I would invite the listeners to come and have food with us as we were doing the show. That was awesome. It would be nice to be able to do that again. And maybe we will as soon as we know that COVID is gone further away. That's been a very difficult task, but we're looking at opening a place where we can do that, okay? So, but much love to all the listeners around the world, and we thank you so much. And when you're in this country and in this town, come hang out with us. Come in and have dinner with us here at Solar Records Radio. We appreciate you. All right, take care. Tomorrow, 3 p.m. Eastern Standard, we will be with our Indie Blues and All That Jazz show at 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Much love to you. Peace out, Greg. God bless all of you guys. Y'all all have a wonderful rest of your day, evening. All right? And we thank you again for tuning in to Solar Records Radio. Good night.
You in your car. You at the house. On your job. Be encouraged, boo. Come on. A long way. That's why we love you. Come on.
let's go now. In the front now, in the back now, let's go now.